Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Patty Vasquez takes over at 11 with Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. I'm Justin Kaufman. Tomorrow night, the new film Creative Control makes its Chicago debut at the Music Box. It's the second feature film from Wheaton-raised Benjamin Dickinson. That sounds weird, Dwayne. It's never Wheaton-raised. We'll talk about that.
I'm like cattle.
Benjamin,
I'm very
also,
lean.
You're very lean. You look nice. Yeah. Benjamin also stars in a movie which explores relationships, technology, technology's effect on relationships, all through the eyes of the main character, David, of course, played by Benjamin Dickinson. The movie played South by Southwest last year and is being distributed by Magnolia Pictures. The writer, director, and star, Benjamin Dickinson, is with me tonight. Nice to meet you.
Great, what up, Chicago?
Great film, yeah.
Thank you.
So Wheaton-raised, let me talk there, because in the pitch, they're like, Benjamin spent so much time coming down to see films at the Music Box, and now he's got his film at the Music Box.
Is
that true?
It's really surreal, actually, and I want to travel back in time and say hello to my 16-year-old self who's riding, riding Metro out here to watch Spike and Mike's, Twisted, Sick and Twisted Animation Festival, and like be like, by the way, your own film will be playing here in 10 years. I'll be like, get out of here, old man.
Do you ever think about that? I mean, as you're putting films together, you're like, oh, it's just going to look great on the Music Box screen.
You know what? I was in too much pain and fear while I was making the film to
really
even think about that. Yeah, I mean, making a film is the worst. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
I'm going to follow up on that because, I want to talk all about the movie. It's a great movie.
Okay.
But this is – you can tell this film is made by someone who really respects the art of filmmaking. I mean, there's a lot of slow motion shots. There's a lot of really, really spectacular artistic shots in this film. What – the process of making a film, it terrifies you?
No, it doesn't terrify me. It's just really difficult and painful. And I don't think there's any way out of that, especially production. And by the way, it's nice that you say respect, because some reviews call those slow motion shots indulgent. I believe the word preening was used. Show off, I believe, was also used in a review. So I like your interpretation.
Pretty good. You can use it on the back of the DVD.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a certain point like where I don't know if there's a threshold of budget where it becomes more comfortable. But no matter what, it's so expensive to make a film. You're always rushing against time. There's never enough time. There's never enough money. So the actual production is usually. It's tough, It's tough.
I guess people think about it. It's such a passion play to be a filmmaker. I mean,
you're
playing with, you're doing everything from your heart. You're putting heart and soul into it. But it is something that at the actual moment of putting it together and shooting it, there's a lot of stress.
Yeah, it's not sleeping and, waking up at 5 in the morning and then, you lose your location and the actor's got nerves. I mean, it's really problem solving at the point. There's a lot of creativity that goes into it, but creativity in the sense of problem solving is sort of the main skill.
You're the co-writer, your director, you're the star in the movie. I mean, that has to add to the stress as well.
Yeah, that was a really bad idea. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I would do that again.
Why?
Just because it's literally just time and having to switch back and forth between being the captain of the ship and then being an actor. And especially in this movie, because it's like, I'm kind of running the show all day. And then it's like, okay, guys, now in this scene, I'm going to be masturbating. So that's not a spoiler.
You just spoiled the whole movie.
I did.
No.
So it's weird to be so vulnerable that an actor needs to be and try to be emotionally naked and then to go back into the role of like steering the ship. It's difficult. It's like schizophrenic, kind of.
Is it hard motivation-wise for you as an actor? Because you do have to rely on other people on the set to say, okay, are you ready, Benjamin? Here's what we're going to do. Are you pretty much having that talk with yourself internally?
I mean, I'd already, I wrote the movie, so
right.
I felt like I was inside the character's head already. That didn't mean that I always knew that I was connecting and I would have to talk to the DP or my editors were on set sometimes, or sometimes the other actors would give me feedback. It's always a team effort, so there was plenty of other creative people on set that I trusted enough that if I wasn't making it happen, it wasn't like they wouldn't tell me.
Do you consider yourself, this is your film.
Yeah.
You wrote it, you directed it, you starred in it. Is there one that you feel you're more comfortable in the role than the others?
I think I'm most comfortable in the role of writing because it's just me, like, isolated from society, like in a little room somewhere, just me and my imagination, So I think that's where I'm most comfortable. yeah, the other two are – I mean, I think I actually have the most experience as a director. That's where I feel the most confident. And then acting, I – that was just
well. Let's take it in chunks. Let's talk yeah. about the writing because this story is a story that I mean we you know you rip from the headlines kind of thing where the story is really about technology. The character is an advertising exec who pitches and successfully gets a company who is essentially Google Glass, like the idea of eyewear, and then the character has to try it out. It's just an interesting way that you know to get into the idea of a movie about this sort of adaptive augmented technology.
Yeah, I think you know part of the reason that I wanted to have the main character be an early adopter of the movie is that I wanted to show that I think that there's an intersection point, a confluence of pressures that result at the intersection of technology, marketing, advertising, capitalism, and drugs that's happening. So the movie isn't about a world where everyone's augmenting their reality.
Absolutely, right.
It's kind of about how one character is turning up the amplification on augmenting his reality, and he's doing it in a lot of different ways, not just with the technology.
It's funny because I thought about that because I think Reggie Watts has a line later and just about augmenting, and there really is this feel that the character, as it evolves through the movie, really you start to lose track of what's real and what's not.
Right.
And that's what technology, whether it's glasses or your phone or whatever it is, that's truly what's happening almost every day in our society.
I think it's happening to a lot of us, and some people are getting super lost and we don't know about them, like they're falling off the edge of the earth. I mean, yeah, I don't want to get down, but we have an opioid epidemic going on in this country. I think there's a mental health crisis going on in this country. We're more medicated than ever. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, serious internet addiction, pornography addiction, all this stuff. So I think people are losing touch with reality. And those are extreme cases I'm mentioning. I think the majority of people who are just living their lives, they even feel it creeping in. And it's an anxiety that I feel around me. And I don't know that we know how to talk about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? A little bit. Or we feel that it's happening, but we're supposed to just pretend that we're not anxious about it. But I'm anxious about it. And making the movie, I found that many people are.
Well, I mean, entertainment and art in, has always been sort of a conversation starter. I mean,
I think it gives a context for people to talk about stuff that they were feeling, but they didn't have a context or didn't feel comfortable talking about it. And once you get it out there in art, then it's like a release valve. And people can be like, okay, this is something that we can talk about. And now it's, you know, it's.
And it's not just about the obsession with the technology, but it was about the technology's obsession and its impact on the relationships of these characters, because there were four main characters, if you will. There were probably some more around that. But it was about how technology was affecting them. One was a photographer who was really into sharing everything, including sexual exploits.
Right.
The other was the advertising exec. And then there was the two girlfriends who both, you know, were, I mean, I want to, and I'll ask you about this next, but it just seemed to me like everything that was happening in technology was having an impact on just the basic relationships.
I think absolutely it's true. And like in the case of Wim, the photographer, there's almost like an oversharing with technology. And then David uses it to isolate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like it goes in all these different extreme areas. I think what happens with technology, well, especially in the internet, this virtual world, is that suddenly we're in a world where consequences are different. And that's why you can have people be trolls on Twitter. And then in regular
real life
they're a normal socialized person. But somehow in this sort of vacuum where there doesn't seem to be consequences, people can become vicious. So I think that's interesting. It's almost like we're reaching a point of like pure psychic energy level where it's just the id and the superego fighting it out in virtual space.
Well, you know, that's what I was going to say about, you know, the comparisons in the movie, you know, the David's girlfriend, Juliet. She's big into yoga.
Yeah.
And there is this this emphasis on, you know, I think early on, like, you know, keep the electronics out of here. Like, this is about connecting your mind, your body, your spirit.
Yeah.
It's almost like the yin to the yang of what's going on with David. That's on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even in the earlier drafts, the movie was really like a David-Juliet comparison back and forth, and they had an equal number of scenes. That works in a novel, but in a movie, because it's linear, you kind of need like it to be lopsided. And we even cut out maybe five Juliet scenes. In a way, it's unfortunate, but it was too long.
But she's still, I mean, it's still a big still, part she, of it. That's a big part of her world.
It's a big part of it, and
In a strange way, comes to the same conclusions at the end of the movie that the main character David comes through with using the technology.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think the more that we become more virtual, the more we're going to need to strategize ways to get back into our bodies, because in the foreseeable future, we're stuck in these meat sacks, man. I mean, as much as we want to just be totally creative, imagined, as much as we'd love to live in a world of concept, as far as we know, consciousness is totally tied to being in a body. I mean, we have the Cartesian anxiety in Western society. I think, therefore I am. Mm-hmm. Descartes says that. And the implication is that consciousness is separate from being embodied. But we have no idea if that's true. We haven't been able to reanimate a body.
Mm-hmm. So and this time that we're living in right now is testing that.
It is. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know either, but
you're an avatar. You're a little picture on Twitter. You're not an actual person, but you have thoughts.
And yet you are. Fundamentally, you know, we're still living in the same bodies our ancestors had 200,000 years ago. So I think we're going to need to get hip to the fact that we got to take care of these bodies and like our basic needs for touch and community and closeness and intimacy. That's not going away. So I think the more the technology becomes virtual, the more we're going to have to like really – and I think it's interesting. You know, guys like David Lynch are trying to get meditation into schools. Mm-hmm. Like I think you do see a refocus on just the health of the body necessarily. And I think we got to keep going in that direction. I think we got to really think about how we can take care of our needs as mammals. And I mean this extends to everything because like one of our biggest needs as mammals is to not have a polluted planet. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? But like, you know, at some point we're just going to have to be like, wait a second, we need to breathe the air. We need to drink the water. Like we have to start making different choices than just profit, which is why it was important to me to have it take place in the world of advertising.
You know, for you as a filmmaker, I mean, like you said, we just talk about why you made this film or wrote this film. The film and the actual production of the film, we talked a little bit at the top just about the creativity that you put into the shot, but you made conscious choices like to make it black and white.
Yeah.
You made a conscious choice. The music I thought was very conscious about it being Baroque. This concept of everything was classic and it was juxtaposed against a world that in the synopsis you write took place 5 minutes into the future.
Yeah. Well, I think we're always returning. You know, there's kind of like a cyclical aspect. I think Baroque music evokes luxury. It actually evokes superficiality in a way because it's all about the style, and that time in Europe is very ornate and black, and you know they're living in black and white spaces. It's kind of like a luxury ad a little bit, this idea that you could be living in a beautiful classical environment and that it would be a hellscape. And to me, that's part of the tension of the movie.
And also like it seemed like the juxtaposition against the idea that technology is I mean way beyond what any of those mediums, the music Baroque or the black and white could ever imagine.
I guess I thought of the problems, the human problems, as being classical.
that's right, you know what I mean?
That's
right.
Yeah, it's still kind of the same thing. Like you're trying to get along with your maid and communicate.
Well, it's a great movie, and it's at the Music Box Theater up on Southport in, I guess you call that Wrigleyville? Like, is that around that time? Lakeview, Wrigleyville?
I used to call it Lakeview back in my day.
Yeah, there you go. Are you excited? Are you going to be
I'm
there?
I'm really excited. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there to do Q&As Friday and Saturday after, like, the 7 o'clock show, and then I'll introduce the late show. I think there'll be a moderator. So, I mean, in the introduction won't be as in-depth Q&A, but yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there to talk to everybody and hopefully see
you get up on that stage.
Hopefully see some old buddies, old Chicago buddies.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Benjamin Dickinson is the writer, director, and star of the movie Creative Control, which will be on stage or on screen at the Music Box.
And honestly, I'm going to actually act out the film and like Rocky Horror Picture Show. So come out for that.
Cottage industry, man. You can just do that afterwards. Yeah. Just tour the world. Yeah. Benjamin, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.